Hey, this is Chris Brown, and this episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit westaffthechurch.com to learn more.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown. So honored that you're tuned in today. The call-in number is 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. And the email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. We're taking your calls, taking your emails, talking all about how we can manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. Super honored to be on the broadcast again with you today. It looks like our first call is coming in from Kentucky, and this is Christina. Christina, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Thanks, Chris.
Oh, yeah. How can I help you?
All right. So my husband and I are about halfway through the first baby step. We've got about $500 in the bank. In our savings, and we are looking at, my husband is applying for a different job because he makes, like, his income is around $40,000 a year, and we kind of realized that in order to get out of debt and do the things that we want to do, we really want to be making more than that, and so in order to do that, we're going to need to move, which is fine. You know, we're excited about doing that. Since it's going to be increasing our income, is it okay to kind of put our debt payments on hold? I mean, you know, obviously paying the minimums, while we're putting our money in our, like, moving savings fund, because, you know, money is tight. And I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, of course. So, if you're, you know, have some, anyone listening in, if you know you're about to enter a season where there's going to be a lot of increased expenses, like a childbirth or a major surgery or something like this, then yes, you want to beef up that emergency fund. If you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to go further into debt.
Right, exactly.
So we don't want that to happen. So I guess maybe I got to ask, how did you get to the point where you said, you know what, for us to be able to make a little bit more money, we have to move? What's the story behind that?
Well, we live in a small town. My husband went to Berea College, and so he found a job really close to the college. So we just kind of stayed in this town. We love it. It's great. There's just not a lot of industry here. He works as a machinist, and so there's just not really anything here besides either the company that he's already working for or other companies where their pay scales are very similar because they're smaller companies.
Yeah.
We're looking to move into an area like closer to like Louisville, Kentucky, if you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Where there's, you know, bigger companies like Ford, et cetera. But you know, like I've gone through financial peace. So I'm really familiar with it. I did the teen program back in the day. And so I'm kind of, you know, I know all about the baby steps and all that. And my husband is getting on board slowly but surely. We listen to your podcast and Dave Ramsey a lot. I listen to it a lot in his presence.
And so strategically.
Yeah. Yes. At first it was like, I'm cooking dinner, I just need something to listen to. And now he's kind of coming around. And
one day
he came to me and looked at me and goes, hey, babe, you know, I don't like where we are financially. And we just need to fix it. And I was like, thank goodness.
That is so cool.
You know, and we don't have a ton of debt, but, you know, I mean, we have about $20,000 in debt, and, like, we only make about $40,000 a year. So I have started my own business, and that's, you know, going pretty well so far. And
yeah,
but, you know, it's just, he just needs to increase his income and be in a place where he can, you know, move up, have a place to move up. And sometimes the smaller companies like where he is just doesn't work. But yeah, so it's good to get on the same page, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, by stopping our debt payments, other than just paying the minimums, that we weren't, you know, doing something that was, because, you know, I try not to be careless.
Yeah,
our money,
no.
You just definitely want it
to be for the briefest amount of time possible and get back
right
and to attack.
Well, and what we figured was if we put our estimation for the move was around $2,000, and then we estimated a little bit more on the generous side, and we figured that if there was any extra, that we would just put it to the principal of our small Santa debt snowball.
I love it. You're all over it. I love it. Now you mentioned something about starting a business, and I think I'm going to have Christy Wright, one of our personalities, on the show very, very soon, and she's going to be answering a bunch of questions on starting businesses. Of course, she has the Business Boutique and all that going on, and she's just a guru about that kind of stuff, especially starting one as a secondary income. I'm actually, when I hang up, stay on the line, Amanda. I want Amanda to get your. Get your contact information. I want to ask a couple more questions about you starting off that company or that that business. And I think we'd love to have you on for a future show when we have her on the line. So that'd be good. Some good times there on the radio. So stay on the line, and Amanda will get your contact information. We'll kind of go from there. Okay.
Okay. Thanks for your help, Chris.
All right. Bye bye.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
I know firsthand the passion that Vander Blumen Search Group has for helping churches and faith-based organizations find their key staff, since they actually connected Ramsey Solutions with me. If your church is looking for its pastor or any key staff member, reach out to Vander Blumen at westaffthechurch.com. They're the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations of all sizes and can help find the right candidates that fit your church's unique needs. Find out more at westaffthechurch.com. All right, folks, got an email here from Melissa. It says, Chris and all of those who make the show possible, thank you for your service and ministry. You have renewed my faith and reminded me on more than one occasion that all things are possible. And that is that's very, very encouraging to hear. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm your host, Chris Brown. We're talking about an email here from Melissa. It says, I'm currently working through this baby steps and working like crazy. I'm a faithful tither. However, recently our church has undergone a change in pastor. I am troubled because the leadership change has taken the church in a new direction that I'm not sure that I agree with completely. I've gone from giving my tithe to the general fund and now marking it for missions. My heart is pulled, and there's a part of me that wants to give to a local charity or a church that I do not attend. I'm not sure what the Bible says on the situation. I'm not wanting to change churches. I feel like that's trying to change a family. I want to give in good faith, and I have continued to pray. If you can provide any insight, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. I just love this. I love it when you guys ask very honest questions, the questions that are hard for a lot of people to open up about. I think it's important for us to realize, not just for Melissa, but for all of us, when tithing is mentioned in the scriptures, it's a matter of trust. So when we begin to steer it, it's no longer a trust thing. It's generosity, but not tithing. So I would not earmark the tithe. Also, when tithing is mentioned in the scriptures, folks, there's no mention of not doing it when we don't understand or we don't agree. Malachi 3 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be food enough in my temple. If you do, I will open up the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room for it. Try it. Let me prove it to you. It doesn't say if you don't understand or you don't agree that it doesn't apply. No, no, no. It's straight up. Bring the tithe to the storehouse so that there'll be enough food in my temple. However, as a good steward, you do need to manage faithfully. So, Chris, how do I deal with this tension? Here's what I would do, Melissa. In your situation, I would faithfully tithe, continue to tithe, not earmarked, just to the general fund, while asking for clarification on some things, the things that you wonder about, that you're troubled about, this is the way you said it, from the appropriate staff member. It doesn't necessarily have to be the lead pastor. Depending on the size of church, it could be a campus pastor, it could be a ministry leader, somebody who has the know-how, and you just keep going through the appropriate channels. And just knowing when you get your answer that God has appointed them leaders of the church, not you, them. They've got a they've got some accountability with God, and as far as how the church is ran, you have an accountability on how you handled the what's been given to you, what you've been entrusted with. And at the end of the day, when you get your explanation, if you feel convicted that it's not the best way for you to be a faithful manager, then you have to make a decision. Do I continue to go there when I don't trust the leadership or disagree with the way things are being managed? But just know, this is for everyone listening in, the next church is not going to spend exactly like you either. Okay, you'll find yourself going from church to church to church. And I know you say you didn't want to move, but I know there's a lot of folks in here that you have those moments where you're frustrated the church is not spending exactly the way you want them to. Guess what? When you go to the next one, they're not going to spend exactly the way you want either. The only church out there, listen carefully, the only church out there that'll do everything just like you want is the one that you run. It's the one that you're leading. If you're not leading it, they're not going to do it exactly like you want. But I do love you having the conversation with them and getting clarification of the why they're doing things in that direction. And I think when you get a healthy dose of direct vision, that might change. But if it doesn't, there's other churches out there. Every church is not made for every person. So, but very, very good question. I would not earmark the tithe ever in any situation. All right, folks, next on the line, going all the way across the country to Los Angeles, California, this is Ed. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I had a question regarding, my situation. Let me describe my situation so you understand where I'm coming from. I'm about to pay off my house. My kids are in college, and my wife is going back to work. And my concern is my tax liability is going to be, you know, up the roof here. So I'm trying to find ways to improve that situation. And one way I'm looking at is to buy a second home. And because I'll be paid off with my existing home, the one I live in about 18 months. I only owe $49,000. It's worth about $750.
Uh-huh.
And I want to look at other ways to minimize my tax burden and maximize my investments. And I'm already maxed out in my 401k. I can't give any more. Well, I need your help. I want some advice on what to do.
Yeah, yeah. There's a difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance. And you're wanting to avoid some tax. I love that.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I'm not a deadbeat. I do pay my taxes.
Yeah.
I want to give to charities that I'm comfortable with and support my values.
Yeah, of course. Now here's the deal: if we were to take a $200,000 house, which is pretty much impossible where you live, but just stick with me,
okay.
A $200,000 house, and let's say you pay $10,000 a year on interest payments in a given year. So what happens when you go to file your taxes is you're, instead of making $100,000 a year, you're now going to be really claiming that you made $90,000. So you're not going to pay taxes on $10,000 worth of income.
Correct.
Now, if you happen to be in the 25% bracket, which is most of our listeners, what that means is you're going to be saving $2,500. So you paid $10,000 in interest so you can save $2,500. Makes no sense. Now, Ed, if you're going to be in the position where you don't have to pay any interest on a home at all, I'm telling you, you don't want to do that. You do not want to go out and buy a house to save money on taxes. You're just going to pay the taxes. It's going to be a lot cheaper. So I would never recommend that anyone go buy a house so that they can pay interest so they can save on taxes. So that is some advice that's given by CPAs sometimes, and I have no idea why they say that, because they're supposed to be good at math. But paying $10,000 to save $2,500, and I know your numbers are way bigger, but you get the point.
Yeah.
And right now, the difference is not quite as huge because we got interest rates around 3%, but that's still just absolutely crazy. So I would want you to save somehow on taxes through your investing. And you're already doing a great job with your investing, but I mean like trying to make sure that you're taking advantage of all those investing tax advantages, but it's not going to be on going out and buying a home with financing. So
Even if it's for the purposes of maybe living there after I retire, I mean, there's other emotional factors that go with it. I understand, but from a purely financial perspective, you're saying it's a no-go.
Well, I think so. Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially for you, you probably have a very good income. You only owe $49,000 on this thing. You probably wrap it up within the next 2 or 3 years, maybe even less than that. And then after that, you've got this great income that you can save for 2 or 3 years. And next thing you know, you're paying for something in cash or you're putting 50% down or something like that. But to do it for the tax reasons, definitely not. And then what I would do if you're going to buy it out of town for somewhere you can go as a second home, which you've put yourself in a good financial position, there's nothing wrong with that. What I would do is I would travel to that place a few times, rent a place for a week, see how you enjoy it, like 2 or 3 times throughout the year first to make sure that's exactly what you want to do. A lot of folks get emotionally tied to one vacation and are like, shoot, I'm going to go out and buy this house here.
Right.
Next thing you know, the next 2 or 3 years, they only went once for 3 days each. And that's a really expensive vacation that way.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I was thinking about moving there after I, retired. It wouldn't be too far from my house. It would be something that would be, somewhat local, about a 2-hour drive in Arrowhead, which is kind of a mountain area. Mm-hmm. And I thought that might be an option for me to keep myself busy working on it and keep my existing home, so I don't want to lose that either.
Right. Well, here's the deal: if you want to do that, just don't do it for tax purposes, and obviously you want to put as much down as possible.
Got it. Okay, good advice. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ed. All right, folks, I love hearing you guys call in with such great stuff. This great question by Ed. A lot of you call in with life-changing stories and questions for me. And I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of the answers, listening to what the scriptures say. But let me ask you something. Have you ever wanted to give somebody a piece of your mind? Have you ever wanted to give me a piece of your mind, right? Ever wanted to praise something that you love? You ever just wanted a voice? Well, here is your chance. I'm giving you the opportunity right now. I mean, I really hope your feedback isn't negative, but even if it is, I still want to hear from you. After all, Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of the fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." So if you want to give me your feedback on the show, I am ready to listen, and I'd love to hear it. Just head over to stewardship.com today, and you'll find the link to a survey on the homepage and on today's episode page. Or you can text us. Just text the word stewardship to the number 33444. That's 33444, and we'll send you a link to the survey. Again, text the word stewardship to the number 33444 to share your thoughts on the show. And even if you give some not so great feedback, and I don't mean great meaning not valuable, I just mean not easy to hear, you could win one of the $50 Target gift cards for just telling me what you think.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. You can email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com with your questions or your success stories at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's get back to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
This next call is from Josh. He's calling from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Josh, how are you?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm better every day. Yeah, sure. How can I help?
I've got a little bit of a dilemma. So far, I'm following the Baby Steps program with my wife.
Cool.
And we're doing quite well. We plan to have everything except for our house paid off in the next 15 and a half months, roughly.
That's cool.
Yeah, and So my issue is my best friend is getting married, and he asked me to be his best man, but it's going to be a destination wedding in the Caribbean, and it's going to cost roughly $3,000 between my wife and I. So we were just wondering how you would go about something like that, because I really can't say no to this.
When is the wedding?
The wedding is a year and a half from now, exactly. It's January of 2018.
Okay. And, okay, $3,000. How much debt do you have?
Right now we have $20,000 in student loans left.
And you said you're on a 15-month plan.
Roughly, yeah. Right now we're paying off about $1,500 a month.
Cool. Very cool. Well, guess what?
What's up?
I see absolutely no issues here. Because here's the deal.
Okay.
In 15 months, you're going to be completely debt-free.
Yeah.
And after that's over, I want you to celebrate. Take that $1,500 a month that you're putting towards debt, and that month 16 and month 17, boom, $1,500, boom, $1,500, you got your $3,000.
Okay.
As soon as you get back from the wedding, you start working on Baby Step 3, your fully funded emergency fund.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I love it.
So hold off on the emergency fund until after the vacation then.
After your debt's paid off, then you start, you know, the only caveat to that is if maybe a couple months before that, if you need to drop some money, you know, to maybe to save some last minute, you know, fares and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You might have to go a little bit premature to that. Maybe work a 14-month plan or a 13-month plan to try to squeeze it in.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that's a great way to celebrate being debt free. That's great.
Well, thank you for your help.
All right. Thanks, Josh. And enjoy the Caribbean.
Yeah. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Well, you heard Josh talk about the baby steps. He's working the plan. I just want to take everyone, kind of bring everyone up to speed. Maybe you're new to this show. You have no idea what we're talking about with these baby steps. And Dave Ramsey is kind of like America's voice on money over the last 2-3 decades. And what Josh is referring to is Financial Peace University. And that is Ramsey Solutions curriculum to get out of debt and to build wealth. And there's 7 baby steps. And he was referring to baby step 1 is that starter emergency fund of $1,000. Baby step 2 is getting out of debt using the debt snowball, working that smallest debt first, and then working your way through that debt snowball. And then baby step 3, what he's going to do when he gets back from the Caribbean, is to establish that emergency fund to 3 to 6 months of expenses to kind of cover any kind of major curveballs that happen in your life, bigger than $1,000 that you take care of in baby step 1. So that's what that was all about. All right, folks, got an email here from Nicole. She says, I've been attempting to build good credit, which is an oxymoron, by the way, attempting to build good credit, and am currently nearing a 600 credit score. I'm paying down debt, but my score is obviously affected by my lack of credit history. During which step of Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University should I consider opening a secure credit card? And Nicole doesn't even know what she just asked. Those of you that are Financial Peace University and Dave Ramsey fans for years, you're kind of chuckling in your car or at your desk. And Nicole, nothing wrong. No condemnation here, but we are big time anti-credit score. Yuck, 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 yuck. The reason why is because here's what goes into a credit score. Listen to this. This is actually embarrassing that we as human beings are proud of credit scores. Check this out. 35% of your credit score is determined by payment history. It means how long have you been paying payments to other people for stuff that you can't afford? 30% goes towards debt levels. How much debt do you have? How much of an expert are you at owing people things? 15% goes to your length of credit. How much bondage are you actually in? 10% goes into type of credit. How many types of credit do you have? Are you really good at this? Or are you just, you're not so good at this? 10% goes towards new credit. Are you opening up new bondage? And that is so crazy that we're proud of that. So here's the deal, Nicole, back to your original question. Never. And never think about a credit score again. You do not need a credit score. The times in my life where I had the highest credit score, I had the lowest financial net worth. And the times where I've had the lowest credit score, guess what? I've had the highest financial net worth. More focus on financial net worth, less focus on a credit score. Nicole, I'll go one step further. And I will say, whatever email that you emailed in originally, okay, tack on to that email. And our team is going to send you, just say, hey, listen, Chris mentioned that I'm going to give you a free Total Money Makeover book. So if you email again, email in with this, you know, just tag on to your original email and say, hey, Chris said this on the air. We will send you a free Total Money Makeover book. But great question. And I'm glad that we clarified that for you. All right, folks, don't forget, if you want to give your feedback on this show, you can find a link to the survey at stewardship.com or just text the word stewardship to 33444 and we'll send you the link. Now, please be kind. Be kind to me. If you have some suggestions, I'm all for it. But you can put it in a big package of kindness. Oh my goodness, what have I opened myself up to? Well, folks, I hope you've enjoyed the broadcast today. I hope you enjoy it every day. We're on the dial right here, Monday through Friday, same time, same spot on the dial. And if you ever miss a show, be sure to check it out at stewardship.com, or you can check it out on iTunes and here over on Google Play. Folks, it's been a pleasure. Until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.